Hi, I'm Steve Todd, and you're listening to Musicians FAQ, a radio program focused on learning more about the musicians that are entertaining you around Waterloo Region. We're featuring your favorite local singer, guitar player, or drummer, learning how they got started, influences, funny stories about past gigs, and upcoming performances. You'll also hear some great recordings of their work. In addition, we'll be learning about others in the music industry that are helping to maintain a vibrant music scene. This is Musicians FAQ. Punky Doodles Corners, thanks a lot for coming to my place to talk about your musical history.
Thank you.
All right. So why don't we start, why don't you just tell the listeners about yourself, who you are, where you're from, and I know you have a long story, so I guess we'll start near the beginning.
Well, I come from a musical family. I was born and raised in Wingham,
okay,
Ontario, and then moved to Kitchener basically in my late teen years, and then... We live in the country just outside of Wellesley. Been there for over 35 years.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
And I know our mutual friend, Kevin Westfeld, he sent me a picture of an LP that had, I think you're just probably maybe 6 or 7, 8 years old, something like that.
Yeah.
And that must be your parents and maybe an older sister or something? Or?
Yeah, I have an older sister. My dad passed away. My dad is country, well... We were steeped in country music. Yeah. My dad's been in country music his whole life. He was Canada's number one singing cowboy.
Really? Okay.
And he's CCMA honorees. He's been in the Country Music Hall of Fame in Canada.
Okay. Yeah.
On Nashville, I could tell you all kinds of stories about my dad. We had a family band that we used to tour quite extensively. My dad was friends with people like Hank Snow, Wolf Carter.
Wow, okay.
And so that's where I got my, I guess that's where I got my upbringing and legs in music was through the family band. And that time we were on RCA Records, and we did three, maybe, might be four LPs that we did. Okay. I was at that time I was Canada's youngest recording artist.
Okay, that's neat.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So. You might still be, I don't know. You'd probably be Justin Bieber. He was probably 15 or 16, so.
Well, it was, I had a high soprano voice at the time.
Oh, that's great. And your dad would have played guitar then, would he? Or?
My dad was, he played guitar. My dad, his cousin was Gordy Tapp, and they used to hang out in the farm.
Okay.
Gordy sold my dad his Martin guitar for $75. It's a 0018 Martin, 1937 Martin guitar. And dad's used that ever since.
Yep.
That's the guitar I learned to play on.
Wow. So you'll see you're a multi-instrumental guy, because I know you're a drummer, but...
drums, keyboard, mandolin, guitar.
Yeah. Wow, okay.
Yeah.
So you did that. So you were just a child when you were touring with the band.
Yeah, yeah. We used to go out east. We would play with a lot of Nashville artists at the time when we played in concert. And we would go out for a month or a month and a half at a time.
Yeah.
And we tour the local area at the fairs and all the different events, the festivals and things like that.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So this would have been, can you put a decade on that? With roughly what time that?
I'd be about 1958 up to about 1962 or maybe 63. About 5 years of it when I was younger. As I got older, I started getting into it. My sister bought me the first Beatles album and I was hooked.
Okay. That's cool. I've heard that from other people too.
Yeah.
Smilers never lose.
We have a mutual friend as well, Diane Dittner, and she, I know you mentioned Wellesley, she was doing barn dances and stuff like that for years. I don't know if it's CKNX or...
Yeah, that's what my dad was involved with CKNX. That was his daytime job, was writing commercials and doing announcing. He had an FM radio program there. Yeah. And they also had a barn dance, traveling barn dance, which is known as Canada's largest traveling barn dance.
Yep.
And my dad was the leader of the band and the singer.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that all with, Old Buddy Hoppy? Is that all that in that same era of time? Or is that maybe...
Even before that, my dad got started when he left the farm. He's from Exeter, Ontario.
Yep.
He left the farm in the 1940s, I guess it was, and then ended up in Wingham, working at the TV station and working on radio. And then he, it was actually in about 1950 or so, my dad went to the States to try and make his mark down there. So he was on the Grand Ole Opry the same night that Hank Williams was on.
Oh, you're kidding.
And he was just, Hank Williams is just an up-and-comer.
Yeah.
And my dad was talking to him backstage, and Hank was all nervous because he didn't know if the people were going to like him. My dad said, "Well, you've got the number one record on the radio. What's not to like?"
Oh, yeah.
So then, yeah, Dad was involved with that. He was also Bill Haley and the Comets from back in that area. He used to have a band called Bill Haley and the Saddlemen. So my dad, his manager, got him work in the United States, and he had to have a place to stay at. So he stayed at Bill Haley's farm. And Dad got to be really good friends, and he used Bill Haley's band, Bill Haley and the Saddlemen at the time, to do his gigs in the States, and they would go to record stores and sign autographs and radio programs and things like that.
Wow. You have a lot of history. I can't believe all the names already.
Well, my dad took me to see Bill Haley when he was at Bright's Grove in Sarnia, and I must have been all of 4 years old, so that'd be about 1955. You know, when you're a kid, you don't realize how big somebody is, but Bill Haley was huge back in 1955. I got to meet him, and my dad took me down. It was great.
Wow, okay.
I want to be your only ray of sunshine. I'd love to make your gray skies blue. I'd like to shine through every cloud and sometime bring happiness to someone just like you. If ever you should need a ray of sunshine, just smile and watch it smile right back at you. I want to be your only ray of sunshine to take away those cares when you feel blue. Sunshine, I'll try to ease your little heart from pain. I want to be your only ray of sunshine. I never want to see you cry again. Every time your heart is filled with sorrow, and every time your eyes are filled with tears, I want to be your only ray of sunshine to bring you happiness through all the years.
Hi, I'm Chris Douglas from Cambridge, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo.ca.
Right on.
All right, we're back. Thanks for listening to Musicians FAQ. I'm Steve Todd, and let's continue our interview.
My mom and dad, when they used to perform on stage, my dad always said something. He says, dress for success. He said, when you go out to play in front of people, people want to see somebody that's larger than life.
Oh, yeah.
And he was right. My mom sold all his clothes, stage clothes. She did mine as well back in the day. It was great. He was absolutely right.
You
look like somebody when you're on stage.
Well, I'm still doing seniors' homes, and I'm finding that the music's actually secondary. They want to be entertained, so they want you to talk to them and acknowledge them and maybe tell a joke or something like that. They're more interested in that part of it.
I do. I do the one where my mother is in the nursing home in Lucknow. She's 96.
Wow. Okay.
And up until the COVID thing, I used to go up there maybe once every two months or so.
Yeah.
And take my acoustic, and sometimes I take a guitar player along with me, and we play for an hour. And I'd end up playing songs that my dad used to do, or I remember in that, but I've never played before. Things like old Ray Price, Jim Reeves, some of my dad's songs.
Yes.
Yeah, it was great. You have a captive audience, but I would always go around when I was finished doing that, because my dad always did it. I would shake everybody's hand and say thank you.
That's great, yeah.
Yeah, because those people really appreciate the music. Larry Mercy wanted to do one with me and told me, he said, there's not much pay in it, Larry. He says, I'm not doing it for the pay. Larry says, those people likely bought a lot of Mercy Brothers records in the day.
Yep.
And he says, I just like to pay them back, you know. And I thought, that's pretty gracious.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Those are probably my the most gigs that give you the most pleasure, I guess, or satisfaction that you...
Well, it's personal and intimate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned Lucknow, and I think we mentioned Kevin before. Like, Kevin wrote that Lucknow song.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming you might have been part of that, the drums, maybe, or...?
Yeah, I think I played on almost every record that Kevin has.
Okay.
You know, I didn't play on the original Gas song.
Okay.
But most of the other stuff I was involved with.
Yeah.
In singing backup, maybe helping with the arrangements, but drumming in that, and just encouraging, because I think that Kevin has something that's unique. He was friends with Stomp and Tom. I think Stomp and Tom actually liked Kevin quite well, because he realized that he was... You know, he goes under the name of the Canuck, and Tom likes anybody that's pro-Canadian.
Yeah, for sure. That's neat.
Yeah.
Telling my troubles to my old guitar, singing my blues away, telling how much I am missing you. I miss you more each day. You know I love you, I will be true, and I'm hoping that you're missing me too. Telling my troubles to my old guitar, singing my blues away. Troubles to my old guitar, singing my blues away. Telling how much I'm missing you, I miss you more each day. You know I love you, I will be true, and I'm hoping that you're missing me too. Telling my troubles to my old guitar, singing my blues away, oh baby, singing my blues away.
By the time we had moved to Wellesley, outside of Wellesley, we had bought a place. It was an old stone house, and it needs a lot of work.
Yeah.
And it was actually a church that was built in 1867.
Wow, okay.
So this is our first house, and my mom and dad would come down and help. They'd help drywall and paint and just about anything you could think of. And I really got close to my dad in his later on in life, likely because he was out and about being a musician and traveling and what have you. But it was very nice to be on a level where we're just working together, doing things.
Yeah.
He was kind of getting on my mom's nerves a bit because dad being a musician, he had all this, these ideas and I said, well, why don't you resurrect the barn dance? I said, it started in 1930, early 1930s.
Okay. Yep.
And the original barn dance quit in 1963. And then through time it got resurrected, whatever,
yeah,
you know, but it kind of fizzled. So my dad started the Barn Dance Historical Society, my mom and my dad, and they worked hard out of Wingham, and they got other volunteers involved in that until they started putting on live performances again. And that's been going now since the late 1990s,
yeah,
and we're almost 25 years into it now. And we draw a lot of people. This year we were supposed to play the Drayton Festival Theater, and our matinee got sold out and our Saturday night show got sold out. And our MC for the night is Jim Swan, who knows, is very well vested in the barn dance because he used to be an announcer back in the day at CKNX.
Okay.
And so my dad was glad to be part of this and help put it together. But we started the barn dance band, so I got a lot of work that way. And I got to know a lot more country musicians because I was coming back to my roots from playing rock and roll.
So you're almost like you're part of the house band, I guess, in the barn dance.
And okay. I'm also in the house band at Paul Lieber's in Maryhill.
Really? Okay.
And he will sometimes get a sub when I can't do it.
Yep.
But it's always a pleasure to play out there. I mean, it's real authentic country music.
Yep, I love going there.
There's no place around like that anymore. I'm sure Paul's struggling during these times, but he's certainly one of the Canada's better country singers and players, and his sister Susan as well, and Mike on steel.
He's a great steel player.
It reminds me an awful lot of the Haywood Family Band when we had it together, but I really do appreciate them. They're good people, and I just hope I can continue that after the COVID thing.
So you still play once in a while with that at the commercial in Maryhill?
Oh yes, I do. Yeah, Paul will give me the time off from playing on the weekends when I don't. Busy with other, he understands. I'll go out and play. I've played with everybody from Marie Buttrell, the Barn Dance Band. I was even in Terry Sumption's band for a short spell.
Okay,
and played with Carol Baker. Anybody you can think of in country, Tommy Hunter, and you know, it's been wonderful. We even had George Jones on our barn dance stage 1 year.
You're kidding?
No, and George Jones came off the stage, and I don't know. Somebody told him who I was, and he said, well, how's your mom and dad doing, Grant? Because he remembers. Yeah, people like that.
Well,
it goes back, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah. also got involved with a traveling group that did a tribute to Alan Jackson with Rick Jones. And Rick Jones is from Haliburton, Ontario. He looks like Rick Jones, and he sounds great as a singer, but he sounds more like George Jones a lot of the time.
Because
his first love is George Jones. But it was an excellent band to be in because I got to play with stellar musicians like Doug Johnson on steel guitar, one of the best steel guitar players around.
Yeah.
I got to play with Steve Patico on guitar.
Oh, wow. Donnie
Reed, who was fiddle player. Yep. He played on three Dwight Yoakam albums.
Yeah, those are all the South Mountain guys, I guess, right?
Yeah. No, yeah. It was. They were great. We didn't always have them, but when I went out on tour with Rick, if those guys weren't there, there was guys that were almost equally as good.
Yeah.
Very, very good musicians in that band. It taught me a lot, and I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah.
And that lasted for about 5 or 6 years in the road with Rick.
Yeah. That'll teach you a lot of discipline, too, because that you're going to try to play that exactly dead on like that, where maybe the barn dance, you might be not sloppy, but you're just a little bit, you're going to improvise a little bit more.
Actually, no. We have very good musicians in the band. Fred Lewis is an excellent musician on guitar, and an excellent singer. And there's another guy's project. He wanted me to sing backup on a CD that he did, and he said we're going to Toronto. And I sang that day with him and said, "Who are the musicians on this album of yours?" Yeah. Said, "Really, really good." He says, "Well, it's Brent Mason on guitar."
Oh wow!
Which is Alan Jackson's guitar player.
Yeah,
and he's a stellar guitar player. And so, and actually, Fred's excellent too, but he won somebody different on there.
Yeah.
And he had the A team from Nashville playing.
Yeah.
I said, "Wow, this sounds great." So it was a pleasure to be on his CD. And Fred's the guitar player in the Barn Dance Band.
Okay.
Al Alderson, I've known for a long time. Great. He's part of the Larry Mercy Trio.
Yeah, that rings a bell.
He plays bass and sings. And Al's a good friend. We have Ian Leith from Durham that's playing fiddle right now. We've been through several fiddle players. Not because we wanted to, but just because of circumstances.
Yes.
And then Doug Dietrich on steel.
Okay.
He's the musical director, and Doug's a wonderful guy and great steel player too.
Yep.
You can find anybody better. I mean, he's up there with the rest of those guys.
Yep. I don't know if I've ever shared the stage with him. I met him before. I probably did play at something with him over the years.
Yeah.
Yep.
A true story, my friends, I now tell to you. A strange thing occurred that soon became news. The statue of Satan from the window was knocked. On the driveway below, it fell on a rock. A little girl ran to the statue below, but when she got there, it was broken and so. Picked up its head and she kissed it so dear. In the eyes of Satan, tears did appear. No one understood how the statue could cry. From the tears in its eyes, a miracle.
by the tears from Satan. The statue was kissed by others who came. Some didn't believe that the tears fell like rain, but only a kiss from this little girl caused Satan to cry can startle the world. It was rain-soaked, I know. God changed rain into tears. This story shall live throughout many years. For this little girl caused both world and man to believe in the Lord.
I always was partial to steel guitar because I always wanted to play it until I realized how difficult it really is. It's got to be the most challenging instrument around.
Yeah, well, their knees are moving and their feet, they're doing the pedals and
the bar and the picking. And
yeah, there's so much. A lot
of concentration.
Yeah, well, I admire drummers for that too, because each foot and each hand are doing a different thing, which is kind of the same idea, you know.
Yeah. But we play for big crowds with the Barn Dance Group. They put shows on, and like local service clubs. We've even played some churches.
Yep.
But to play with really tight musicians like that, we learn all the material of the artists for every show.
Okay.
And then we have a dress rehearsal before the show, and that's it. So you got to be on your toes. We haven't had any train wrecks yet.
Good for you guys. Now, was that Barn Dance, was that ever broadcast like nationwide or anything like that then?
Used to be. It was called the Saturday Night Barn Dance, and they would tour all over southwestern Ontario. So they might be, you know, down in Sarnia one night, and then the next night they'll be in Hanover or the next weekend or whatever. Yeah. The Barn Dance originally attracted pretty stellar musicians in its day. My dad needed a fiddle player, I remember. And Ward Allen was his fiddle player at the time. Ward ended up going back up to the Ottawa Valley. But at that time, Ward Allen, nobody could touch Ward Allen. He was a great fiddle player. So my dad got this young upstart from Medicine Hat out west, and it was Al Cherney.
Oh, come on, Mule. Get off the road. Thank you. come on, mule.
Yeah, I was gonna say Al Turney is for the
And Ron Coulthard, different people. Like, they had a group called the Ranch Boys on TV, and my dad would play with them sometimes. And they were all great musicians. And Ernie King, Ernie was just a wonderful man and a great singer. Yeah, all that whole grouping of people, and they would, you know, the ones that were still alive would appear on the barn dance.
Yep.
Most of them are gone now. My dad's been gone 11 or 12 years, and he was 89 when he died, and we put a new family CD out, being that we had done them back in the 50s.
Yep.
I've always wanted to bring it back and do another one, but with my family, which was, I involved my sister again, and my mom and my dad, and my twin girls sang a couple of songs on there as well.
Okay.
So it was something I always wanted to do, and I got it done just in time because my dad was in the throes of Alzheimer's. And my mom had to sit in the studio and coach him, but he could still sing like a bird. It was refreshing to do that. I'm glad I caught it in time to do that album.
That's great. Good for you.
Yeah.
I want a roof over my head and bread on the table and love in my heart just for you, where we can have peace of mind and be happy all the time with love in my heart just for you. Over my head and bread on the table and love in my heart just for you. We can have peace of mind and be happy all the time with love in my heart just for you. I came in this world with nothing and I'll leave with just the same. Makes no difference up above. What's my name? I want a roof over my head and bread on the table and love in my heart just for you. I want a roof over my head and bread in my heart just for you. We can have peace of mind and be happy all the time with love in my heart just for you. I'm just a man of simple means. I work hard every day. All I need is your sweet love and I'm okay. I want a roof over my head and bread on the table and love in my heart just for you. I came in this world with nothing and I'll leave it just the same. It makes no difference up above. What's my name? I want a roof over my head and bread on the table and love in my heart just for you. And love in my heart just for you.
So you were talking about the barn dance. I likely got sidetracked here.
No, but there's probably, and you know what? There's probably another million stories that you have about the barn dance too.
Oh yeah. Yeah, there is. It's been going a long time. We play every year. We have a jamboree camp out jamboree up in Blythe, Ontario, at the arena. And we sell it out. There must be close to 1,200 people at times on there.
Okay.
And we get them, people come for the whole weekend. So we run a jam on Thursday night, bluegrass show on Friday night, the main stage show, or Saturday afternoon they have people that want to get up on the main stage to play, and then Saturday night we have the big show with the dance, and Sunday we run a gospel show.
Okay.
And it takes a lot of volunteers and effort to put that together. So this year was going to be our last year, the 23rd annual. Well, now we have to postpone it till next year. But I just had a call a couple weeks ago from out of the blue, and it's Walter Ossenek on the phone.
Oh, you're kidding. Great.
And Walter says, I want to be in that last show.
Yeah, okay.
And so, yeah, Walter has been good friends with people. Yeah. And he's, there again, there's a multi-Grammy award winner.
Yep.
And he's just about the most humblest guy you'd ever want to know.
He's been mentioned several times in this program. I've had a couple of accordion players that knew him personally, and he would show up at their house, like in between Oktoberfest gigs. He would just come over for a drink and sit and talk. Like, he was really down-to-earth type
guy. Oh, very much so, yeah.
Yep.
No, he's known my parents for quite some time, and I think that's part of the reason he wanted to be on the Barn Dance again, because he does feel at home in that situation, you know. So
that's great. Yeah. Those, when you mentioned Blythe too, some of the funnest things are probably at night, like being out in the camping area probably.
Yeah.
Because everybody's having little bluegrass or little country jams.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of fun to just walk from little campsite to campsite.
And that's what they like to do, you know.
Yeah.
And there's people... It's great because usually the big name artists, usually if they're in the area, they will come to the campfire too and play some songs, and people will be stunned because country people are like that. They're not rock star guys like to lock themselves in the dressing room and not talk to anybody.
Sure.
That's changed quite a bit now, but country guys, they're out and about talking to people in the audience.
Oh, yeah.
When we did a job when I was with the when I had the Desert Dolphins going, we played played a bluegrass festival over in Manitoulin Island, and there was my dad. They wanted to book my mom and my dad too, so we backed my mom and dad up, and next thing I know, my dad's out there with an armful of old vinyl LPs of his he's selling, because vinyl wasn't really in the 90s, you know, until recently again. Yeah, so they're ever so much the entertainers. They love being there. And of course, my dad's signature song was Moonlight on the Manitoulin Island. That's why they wanted him there.
Okay.
He used to sell his CDs on the Chichimon. And
when
we went across to that gig in Manitoulin Island, my mom and my dad and my wife and myself and our two children, young children, twin girls, Kiana and Janessa, we're on the Chichimon, and it came over the announcement as soon as we set sail from Tobermory. It said, is there an Earl and Martha Haywood and their family on board? Would they please, and we're sending down a concierge, and he's going to take you up to the wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Well, then we got to go up and meet the captain.
Okay,
and guess the captain was from Hanover, and he remembered my dad's career and everything, thought it was just awesome we were on board.
Yeah.
So he let the girls steer the boat over to Manitoulin Island, took pictures of them when they were quite young at the time.
And even for your dad, that must have been a real thrill. Like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They still, the Moonlight on the Manitoulin Island was a signature song for my dad, but it became almost like an anthem for the island. There weren't any songs about Manitoulin that I know of that were that popular at the time. And I still get calls or emails from people that want a copy of the record, or they want the sheet music and still remember.
Yeah, that's great.
Because we used to play as a family. We would play over Manitoulin Island as well.
Why did he write that? Did you guys, just because he just fell in love with Manitoulin Island when you played it, or was it...
Well, back in the 50s, it was the SS Norile that set sail from it was a smaller ferry boat from Tobermory to South Baymouth in Manitoulin. This is the story my dad told me. He said that they were coming back from a barn dance on Manitoulin Island, and my dad just got the guitar out and saw the moonlight and the island in the distance and wrote the song. So I don't know if that's how it happened.
Yeah.
That's what he told me.
That's incredible. Good.
Yeah. So I've been with the Barn Dance band, like I said, since the 90s.
Okay.
And I've become their journalist, which for the Barn Dance Opera Journal, which is a quarterly magazine, and we put that out every 3 months.
2 months, okay, great.
Yeah, and it's fun to do because I can use my college skills for the day.
Yeah, for sure.
Finally.
Okay. Yeah.
Ooh. moonlight on the Manitoulin Island. Starry skies above the Georgian Bay. Silver dew and Manitoulin moonlight brings back memories of yesterday. Lonely seagulls crying in the moonlight, fading where the silver billows roar. Moonlight on the Manitoulin Island, take me there and let me dream once more.
So my dad recorded this Donnelly album because they lived close to the Donnellys.
Okay.
When I was a kid, I used to play in an old stagecoach behind the radio TV station in Wingham. And that was the original Donnelly stagecoach. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's now sitting in Casa Loma and refurbished in Toronto.
Yeah.
But my dad grew up on the farm in Exeter, and the Biddulph line was just below them in Guelph. And his grandfather used to tell him stories about the Donnellys. So my dad wrote about 14 songs about the whole Donnelly episode from beginning to end. And when he went to record it, he took it down to Canadian Music Sales. And they said, yeah, let's get on this right away. He said, you know, we just had Stompin' Tom in here. Or no, Stompin' Tom came in later, and he was good friends with my dad. And Stompin' Tom had a couple of songs he wanted to record about the Donnellys, and they said, why don't you put that on hold now? He says, because Earl's got a whole album full of stuff.
Okay, well.
But it did really well for him.
Yeah.
The CD doesn't look exactly the same as the vinyl did. Yeah. It had more stories and pictures in it. But
okay.
But he ended up, we played, I played backed up Dad, Mom and Dad, when we played places, and we were down at the Exeter Fair.
Okay.
And he got told not to play any of the Donnelly songs down there because some of the people might get upset. There was still some animosity in that area. And if you know the whole Donnelly story.
I'll research all that because now it's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, they had a vigilante group back in the 1800s because the Donnellys were squatting on their land. And anyways, it ended up in a big feud and people got killed. And the Donnellys got massacred. So my dad wrote these songs, and we played this gig in Exeter, and he was told not to do any Donnelly songs. And he got pressured so much by the people, if I remember correctly, he might have played one song. And the next day, we got men with the black trench coats and the black hats on coming to our front door of our house. And I thought, this is awfully strange. And they were from, it's like a CIA in Canada. They wanted to know everything about my dad playing there. They wanted to know if he knew anybody in Ireland, because this was an IRA issue. They brought this whole Donnelly thing up, saying that it was an IRA issue, too. Okay. And if there was any bomb threats or anything like that, I couldn't believe that this was going on.
Yeah.
But my dad, they did a play on the Donnellys at the Blythe Festival Theater.
Yeah.
And they also did one in the barn dance there, too.
Really?
Okay. And recreated that old barn dance scene. It was interesting, but that was another element of my dad's that was quite successful.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
The fighting, feuding Donnellys frightened every man, and at the sound of hoofbeats, the women and children ran. They quarreled with all their neighbors who toiled from sun to sun. The fighting, feuding Donnellys fought neighbor one by one. The fighting, feuding Donnellys, Joanna, Jim and Tom, Jim Jr., Michael, Denny, Bob, William, Pat and John. The fighting, feuding Donnellys seldom used a gun. They always fought each battle by fist and always won. They robbed and poisoned cattle, burned barns and stables down. The fighting, feuding Donnellys were known for miles around. The fighting, feuding Donnellys, Joanna, Jim and Tom, Jim Jr., Michael, Jenny, Bob, William, Pat and John. The fighting, feuding Donnellys ran a stagecoach line from Exeter to London, and all was going fine. They soon faced opposition, and this they could not stand. The fighting, feuding Donnellys then fought John Flanagan. The fighting, feuding Donnellys, Joanna, Jim and Tom, Jim Jr., Michael, Jenny, Bob, William, Pat and John. The fighting, feuding Donnellys did their deed one night, crept in the barn of Flanagan when no one was in sight. Slashed and maimed his horses, wrecked coaches one by one. The fighting, feuding Donnellys their spiteful battle won. The fighting, feuding Donnellys, Joanna, Jim and Tom, Jim Jr., Michael, Jenny, Bob, William, Pat and John.
Hi friends, Kevy Canuck here from Kitchener, Ontario, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo.ca.
Well, thanks a lot for driving all the way to do the interview, and it's amazing all the history that you have, and I'm sure there's more to come too. You're not done yet, so I'll come out to see one of your blues gigs with Cheryl and Jackie or anything else, Cracker Jack.
For sure. Yeah, no, I appreciate this, Steve. I'm not that far away from home.
No, that's good. Good stuff. Well, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you, and good to meet you, and hope to come out and see you play sometime.
Oh, for sure. Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks a lot for listening to part one of our interview with Grant Haywood. Please stay tuned for part two and possibly part three. There's enough material that Grant has done over the years to have three one-hour shows. I'm going to feature one song right now that you'll hear in an upcoming episode. He was in a band in the 90s called the Desert Dolphins, and they had a top 10 hit with a song called Dynamite. Till next time, it's Steve Todd. Thanks a lot for listening in to Musicians FAQ.
TNT.